Good morning. My name is Robert Badawi. I have with me Christian Wolf. We're both program managers on the Dynamics AX platform team. I want to thank you for coming here, especially after the big party last night. It's good to see 20-something people waking up in the morning and still listening to LCS. So let's get started. We're going to talk about servicing and operations of the Dynamics AX cloud today. This is a huge topic, so we're going to focus. We're going to focus on two main areas: how to update your cloud instances, and also how to monitor, how to look at monitoring and diagnostics. There's, as you know, in servicing, there are many scenarios and there are many people involved. So this first slide describes to you. It's a summary of basically who does what in this world of Dynamics AX cloud servicing. Basically, the customer and the partner are in charge of the users and the applications. So anything related to users assigned to role, security role, user administration, it's the IT admin of the customer or the partner themselves. Also, they're in charge of developing the application, developing the business processes, monitoring and managing sandbox environment, not production environment. They're also in charge of integrating third-party ISV solutions and managing any updates to the application that happen on their dev boxes and sandbox environment. So in summary, this is, in the servicing world, this is all in the hands of the customer or the partner. On the other side of the slide, this is what Microsoft will do for you. We're gonna manage the application platform. So we have 24 hours, seven days a week monitoring and diagnostics of the application. We actually do application routing, load balancing, site replication, database management, high availability, data recovery, and anything related to scaling up and scaling down. It's all Microsoft's job right now. We also are managing the infrastructure, security and isolation, operating systems, servers, storage, networking, data center, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So this is a new world for Dynamics AX because a lot of the things on the right side were also managed by partners for a long time. Let me go through some typical servicing operations and see how it would work. So first thing is the customer is signing up through the CSP portal. And then after the offer is created, an automatic LCS project, LCS implementation project is created for that customer. So this is basically a summary of how sign-up occurs. When to get to deploy a production environment, a customer is typically required to go through some required steps in the implementation methodology. It's much simpler than the other complex methodology related to upgrade or basically more complex implementations, but there are only a small set of required steps in this default implementation. And once you do that, you submit a request to deploy a production environment. And Microsoft will take care of this, and you will have a production environment. A standard offer of Dynamics AX comes with three environments: a dev box, or it can be used as a build box also; a sandbox tier two environment, which you can think of it as your UAT or as your pre-prod environment; and the production environment that you get to once you finish your testing and you finish basically the required steps of the methodology. Another typical operation, or also it could be looked at as a servicing operation, anything related to access permission or permission issue in the client, this is usually serviced by the client, by the customer's IT admin. You go to the basically assign the right roles, right privileges, and everything to the user. It's basically self-serve, and it's supported by the web client. Now, when hotfixes come, who is responsible for applying them? The customer and the partner is responsible for applying hotfixes to development and staging environment, and is also responsible for testing them. Once it's validated, a deployable package, which is usually the hotfix is in the form of a deployable package, and it depends on the type of hotfix, but at the end, you will be creating what we call a deployable package. And this will be submitted also through LCS, and Microsoft will take care of deploying that hotfix to the production environment. So who's responsible for whenever there's an application error or a bug? How is the typical flow? The troubleshooting happens initially by the partner. And if it's identified that Microsoft is responsible for the issue, a ticket is logged through the LCS support portal. It comes to Microsoft. Microsoft will fix the issue, create a hotfix, and then we go back to applying the hotfix that I spoke to you before. There's also a type of proactive hotfixes that we will be pushing, things related to security, connection failures, and so on. We will be pushing directly to the production environment. This basically, in that case, the customer or the partner is not involved. Another scenario that basically we are also taking care of as Microsoft is planned OS updates. It's invisible to you. It's abstracted basically from your daily operations. This is managed by Microsoft via a maintenance window that is basically communicated to the customer, and the OS update will be applied. Now, if there's an issue in the custom code, so for example, you're running an ISV or a VAR solution, it will be the customer who will work with the ISV to create this fix. The customer will create the customer will create a ticket also via LCS. It will go to the partner. The partner has access to the customer project. The partner will fix the bug, or the developer of the customer if they're developing in-house. And then eventually, when you have a deployable package that fixes the problem, you submit it to Microsoft and it deploys it to your production. So as you can see, there's a common theme here. Everything outside of the production environment is taken care of by the customer and the partner. Everything within the production environment, Microsoft is taking care of. This is a sample end-to-end flow. The customer reports an issue through the X client. So you're using just the regular X client. You can report there's an issue. The IT admin gets notified, or in some cases, the partner. Then they use tools in LCS and they start troubleshooting. We're gonna have a demo about that, about troubleshooting, basically some common problems, especially in performance and so on, correct? Christian is gonna show this. Then once the root cause is found, you can use LCS issue search to find if it's a known issue. If it's a known issue, you'll get the hotfix. The customer or the partner will apply it on the dev box, sandbox, validated. Once the validation is done, you request for the Microsoft service engineering team to deploy it to production, and it's deployed. So this is a typical end-to-end flow of basically when a problem occurs. Obviously, a variant flow would be the issue is not known. It's not found on LCS. It will be reported to Microsoft. Microsoft will issue the hotfix. Then it is on LCS, and the flow will continue the same way it is here. I'm going to switch now to Christian. He's going to talk about monitoring and diagnostics, which is really rich features that we added to LCS in the X7 timeframe. And then we'll go back to updates at the end, and I'll show a demo.
All right. Thanks, Robert. Some of you have probably seen my session yesterday. And there's a little bit of repeat in there from yesterday's session. I'll try to feed in a few new things, kind of. But you know, we're all a little lazy, so if we have good slides, we use them, right? If you're a great demo, well, we replay it sometimes. So what I want to show you today is how you basically can understand the health of your system just using LCS. So yesterday in my demo, I talked end-to-end performance troubleshooting, where I say, hey, if you have just an issue right now, you can use PerfTimer, you can use different tools. And if that doesn't work, you can go into LCS. And if that doesn't work, well, you can still do old school things like tracing. Excuse me. Today, I want to show you more the basic framework which LCS is using. And I will show you a little more, okay, all the health metrics. Yesterday, everything was very much centered on performance. Today, I show you a little bit more around the topic. Now, the first things first. To understand what to use when and how LCS and diagnostics works is to understand how the architecture works. So essentially, we have like three different paths to monitoring. So we call one thing the hot path. In the hot path, we say, Whatever you do, it must be like happening right now. Like the user reports an issue, you are with him on the phone, and then you can go in and you have some monitors, and I'm going to show you these monitors in probably 2-3 minutes from now. Then we have the warm path. So the warm path we take from our telemetry. If you look on the screen over here, we say Kusto. Kusto essentially is our data store, where we store our telemetry data for up to 4 weeks, and every 4 weeks, basically, we just override from the back. So you can go back in history till up to 4 weeks with LCS at any point in time, and we expose basically the Kusto logs to you. That is called raw logs, and I'm going to show you that too. And then we have a third tier of analyzing, which is more like for things like Power BI, for business reporting. We call this the cold path. This is more like our own Power BI reports, but also some of the dashboards which will be exposed to you in the near future. So what I mean with that is like we somehow cannot export our Power BI reports for you to be visible, but we want to build a dashboard so if you have multiple implementations, you can at least see all of your implementations. So we have a dashboard for our own people, for our service engineers, and so we want a dashboard for you too. And this is basically getting data from the warm path and from the cold path, where we say, okay, this is just like our long-term data store, the data is aggregated. You can see, for example, how often did I open the sales order form? How often did my posting go wrong? But you see it all on an aggregated level. You see, okay, in 1 month, 5 times my posting failed for whatever reason. So let's talk a little bit about the tools. So we basically separated in the past a little bit between monitoring and diagnostics. Monitoring was more, okay, I log in and I take a look and see what's going on. Diagnostics was more like some sort of like an automated tool. Honestly, now it's all a little bit convoluted. It's all like, essentially we call it environment monitoring, and that's more or less our new diagnostic story. The old diagnostics framework, which I will also show you, there's really not much engineering besides rule uptake for AX7 rules happening there. So for the monitoring, we have basically like two different, we say, monitors and metrics, and I'll show that to you in a few minutes. The monitors basically tell you, okay, my CPU of my iOS right now is 70%, or my iOS is constantly throwing errors. But the metrics would just tell you something like, oh, my iOS crossed the 70%, so I may want to get a, like sort of an alert or things like that. So, and then we have like the diagnostics, where we have some tools like, I mentioned a few performance counters, performance timer, we have activity monitoring, our own SQL diagnostic story, and we have the raw logs we collect exposed to you. And then for analytics, well, we have our ETW events, which is basically either something where you have a repo, reproduce, we collect the ETW events imported in a tool called TracePath and you can analyze, or we have Power BI reports, which are not exposed to you, but as I said, we will create like a dashboard for you at some point. So this is like a little bit an overview of the data sources. So that blue thing here, performance counters, it's maybe hard to read. Then diagnostic events, crashes. Then we get data from SQL Azure. We get data from Query Store directly. So any one of you use Dynamics Perf? In the past, yeah. And essentially what we want is that SQL Insights is replacing Query Store in its entirety. So we want to basically, it's replacing Dynamics Perf entirely. Mostly because there's really nothing you can do with Dynamics Perf. We cannot give you access to a production system in a PaaS environment, right? I personally love Dynamics Perf, so I commit, but yeah. We have to replace it in this sense. It shows you information about availability, events. And then essentially, we get all the data sources you know, like performance counters, system counters, ASP.NET, events, ETW. We get like our own events from the AX7 server. our retail server management report. All of these programs and components of AX basically send events into our Kusto database, where we pick them up and do some fancy analytics on our own. So we data mine this data by ourselves. It is automatically cleaned of any PII data. But we basically use it for getting usage statistics. So how many daily, weekly active user, monthly active user, how many slow form openings, how many slow queries, is there any query which needs tuning, is there any forms which need optimization, is there any user process which is not working well. So basically, whereas in the past we had to wait for you to tell us the issue, we use this like new world where we have our telemetry telling us what's happening to be a little more proactive about fixing things. So whenever we can and whenever we see something ahead of time, we address it, hopefully sometimes even before you notice. Other things around availability is AX ping. That is requires a little bit of explanation in the Azure Data Center outage detection. So that works somewhat and sometimes not so good. We had, for example, a customer which had an outage, and unfortunately, the AX ping, the service engineer who would get the alert reacted a tiny little bit too late, so the outage happened. But ideally, we have like this AX ping is like an automated tool which gives us alerts if your AX7 installation goes down. So it's basically a tool which is like living in LCS, the LCS architecture, which sends like a hello to AX, and then in AX triggers like an transaction. So it's doing like a read from a table and then like maybe an insert and update and delete. And then basically it says, oh, okay, so I got my AX system responded, it did a transaction, my AX system is ready to operate, yippee-yay. Or, my AX system responded, but I didn't get like a positive answer from my transaction. So that is a thing which works behind the scene, which our DSEC, which we expose more and more also in the dashboard of LCS. And I'll show you where these things will light up. Speaking of that, we go for a demo. So in LCS, whenever we open our environment, come on, let's just go here. Let's open our demo project. That's a little bit slow. Come on. Hello. Oh, here we go. So whenever you are in your environment view, right, then you have the full system diagnostics and the environment monitoring. And the full system diagnostics doesn't have much of what it used to have. So in the very past, there was like dozens of rules in AX 2012. And for AX 2012 deployments, those rules are still there. But for AX 7 deployments, these rules are basically We removed most of them because, honestly, there's nothing like you could set up wrong. So in the past, we checked, did you set up your temp tables correct? Did you set SQL Server to be background process, and so on and so on. We checked all these little things. We checked if you have like backups configured, and so on. But all of that in a PaaS world is now automated, right? And it's done by us. So, obviously, we have our own monitors to tell us if something went wrong, but obviously, that's nothing which we need to show anymore. So we removed all these rules, and now system diagnostics contains only business rules. And basically, the old diagnostics framework, all what we do there is adding business rules over time. Like if something with your GL account structure is wrong or things like that, you would see that this is basically the basic dashboard of it, showing you like, okay, how many successful jobs did I run? Is there any errors I need to tend to? Then you can go to messages, which tells you basically everything what was going on. And that would show only the failed
jobs, but after everything passes, I can only show that. I can see some rules, okay, the vendor invoice validation, the past, the AOS is configured as load balancer, the auto update statistics is disabled. These are actually two old rules. For whatever reason, they haven't been removed. These are more rules which you actually don't even care about. How this diagnostics framework works, it's basically running on the AOS Hadoop, which collects all this data and then uploads it into LCS. Does it every 24 hours. And we also use that as like a piggyback mechanism for SQL Insights, which I will show you like in a second. So SQL Insights is based on a job running on the AOS, collecting all kind of query store data. And we use this trick because only the AOS has rights to access SQL Server and has rights to execute DMVs on SQL Server and query store queries. So instead of us breaching our own security and kind of like forcing our way into SQL Server, we just do the sidestep over the AOS. And the other option you have down here is basically the environment monitoring. The environment monitoring always goes you into this activity view. And this activity view basically consists of a few different graphs. So the first thing is the activity monitoring. So this shows you how much activity happened at any given point in time at any AOS and how much DTU database transaction units you were consuming. So this is basically the DTU gives you like an information how much load was there. You can see there was not super much load. And you can basically, if you click on these things down here, you can zoom some things out, some things in. And then basically on the DTU you can see, oh, well, here was like some 40% utilization on the SQL Server. Maybe I want to zone in a little more on that and just see what happened. So, oh, well, it's of course only 31%. But what happened exactly when this 31% happened here? You could, for example, see that. So essentially, when any of these graphs here is like really big, right, you want to know, OK, did the user do something? What did the user do in this case? And that gives you a first level troubleshooting information. I see, oh, well, the administrator did something, and Manali, my coworker and friend, did something. So let's figure out. Let's see what the admin did. Let's just see. So I click here, and I go down, and I see, oh, well, so the admin ran like a few GL jobs, and then basically seems like the ledger journal trends. So he worked somewhere in general ledger. So I can figure out already on how much, basically not time so much. It's like activity is relative. It's like not exactly like, OK. But you can say 15% of the activity was in the ledger journal trans daily. And then he did some task recording. So the system spent quite some time on the task recording. So if there was any issue, then I would assume it was something having to do with that. So maybe I narrow down a little more. And then I can go down here, and I can basically see all the different steps this administrator guy here did. So, and I can see which controls he used. So I can make it a little bigger and can just see, oh, OK, so he went into the ledger journal trans. He went on the overview grid. So he marked the active rows. He set a value. So you can essentially understand very quickly, what did the user do at this moment in time? And you can really understand it to the minute. So if your user comes to you and say, hey, I had a problem at 8 o'clock and 20 minutes, and it was going till 8 o'clock and 21 minutes, then I can very quickly figure out, OK, so what are the steps he did, right? So I can say, OK, so this doesn't fit. It's just a sample, right? But you can figure out, OK, what are the steps this user did when he had this trouble? And you can drill through very easily. So that's basically a first-level troubleshooting. And then you can see, OK, what were the raw logs in this time? Maybe there was like something going on, right? And now that filters basically here, already pre-filters. After I filtered before on Ledger Journal Trans Daily, this pre-filters all the raw logs. And honestly, this view is a tiny little bit, I would say, it contains a huge amount of data. So it's not so easy to basically go through that without really knowing what you look for. But there's a way to export that. I think or in worst, you can also even just copy it. It's actually the CSV export. That's down here, I guess. Yeah, export grid. So basically, you can anytime export that. And if you want to really analyze these raw logs, right, there might be a few hundred rows in there. You'll probably export it to with this export grid feature to just get like a little bit a better view of it. And then, so there's many other things. I can just look for, OK, in the given time frame, what were the error events? What was going on in here? And it just shows me all the errors. I can go here and can say, was there any slow queries in the given time frame? And, well, and I get the slow queries with call stacks. We track everything which is slower than 100 milliseconds for you. Then there's slow interactions, any interactions which is slower than 100 milliseconds. If you have a retail client, it will track these events too. So it's pretty powerful. It gives you like very good first level information. So obviously we have no retail client, so we got an error here, right? Slow interactions, important access, okay, has no results. That's good. It would also tell you, for example, if a batch job is throttled for whatever reason. It would show you if there was a crash. So I know that this system, for example, crashed somewhere at this point in time, in this time frame. So let's just search for it. So we can figure out, hey, did this system crash for whatever reason? So that was, it's particularly referring to AOS crashes, right? So so you get a whole ton of information about what was going on during the time the user reported the problem for you. So instead of in the old cases where you really would need to do things like, do you have a repro? Can you somehow tell me what's going on? Do you have to describe me? Can you describe me all of these things? That's all gone. You can see deadlocks. You can see crashes. You can see all the events based on a specific activity. So it's really like very, very, very cool in my mind. I like it. I hope you will like it too. So let's go back here. The other view I want to look at with you is the environment view. So it starts with an overview. And basically, it gives you like this super high-level metric. So these two check marks are basically AXPing. They say, hey, yay, we are available. The AOS responded, kind of. And then we have the breakdown by service. So it goes down and says, OK, the AOS service, its status, how many monitors, and which of the monitors are healthy. Obviously, the retail guys added tons of monitors. We on the AOS side, we didn't add so many. Well, we have 14 down here. And then it splits out unhealthy monitors, if any, right? And then so one of the two is more like CPU time, right? The other one is basically more like metrics, like was there any errors, was there any failures. Let's go to system AOS. That should be the AOS proper. Certificates expired. Let's see what counters we have. So this is more available M bytes, what was the CPU in the last hour. So, and it gives you like this chance to filter basically by hour, by 6 hours, by 12 days, by 1 day. Let's go, let's see if we can do 6 hours here. No, doesn't like it. I need to check with my engineers why that happens. But, oh, actually did it work? Yeah, so you can basically see for the last few hours, last few months, right, you can see like maybe, let's see if a week goes. It's loading. So you can see, oh, for the prod AOS 1 and 2 and for the reporting services, you can just see what was happening. Yeah, what was the CPU utilization? Oh, there was a little blip. It was like higher CPU utilization on this AOS in this time. So you can get these metrics like really quick and can get an overview. How is my system performing? Why is it performing slow? And you can get this data restored for up to a month. So that is the warm path, so you can go back up to a month. So with that, we are similar to the other logs, like SQL Insights or the Activity View. The other view is symmetrics, which is more like a, okay, so this is what is going on? Is there anything wrong? So we see, for example, there was like a SQL deadlock, SQL statements failed, things like that, slow SQL statements. and we have a few more metrics, and these metrics are basically kind of like if you go above a certain value, it's basically like telling you. So, and then you would say you can do the same thing like before. You can go back to a month. There's like a little layout glitch here with Chrome. So, but yeah, you can see basically, okay, the channel database on retail, what was the activity on this or the latency. So tons and tons of counters. And obviously we cannot go into every little counter here, but you kind of get the idea and you can start using that and looking and saying, hey, yeah, I want to see if I have any SQL deadlocks, right? Well, boom, it's here on environment monitoring. Or on the health monitors, I just want to understand what was my AOS CPU time at a given point in time. Yeah, it's all here for you. What was the AOS under distress? Did it not have enough memory? Anything like that could have happened, right? And the last but not least, I want to show you the SQL Insight story. Well, I prepared that. So all of these views, by the way, they work with like a date. So you basically enter a date, it's always UTC time, and then you either go back in time, or you basically, even with the raw logs, you give a date range. Here you basically select the date range. You can also select a specific time. And then on SQL Insights, what it basically does is it shows you in this given time frame, which I selected here, all the slow queries which happened and what resource consumption these queries had. So it doesn't only show me like, okay, only like the CPU time. It shows me, first of all, the duration. Then it shows me how many logical IOs the query needed and how much CPU time. So then I can go through and say, oh, well, my DTU was really high. I want to know if anything took a lot of logical IO. Let's check that. Go on here. Always takes a little while.
Christian?
Yeah?
Just while you're working on that small question, does it also work for tier one environment, those like open multiple boxes, or is it only for tier two?
Can you repeat your question, please?
This detailed system monitoring environment.
Yeah. Oh, no, it works. I'm not sure at this point. It probably doesn't even work for Sandbox. It works only for prod.
Only for production.
It might work for Sandbox. For the Sandbox, it should work as far as I remember.
Okay.
Don't quote me on it. But let me know if it doesn't, because I think it should.
Okay.
And that was my last information on it.
The question was this monitoring works for tier one or tier two sandboxes. I believe for tier two it works, which are the pre-prod environment.
Yeah, but not for dev systems.
For the dev systems, not all of these will be working.
So, and basically it selects, if I find a query here, it selects it everywhere. So I can say, okay, so this query down here took the most CPU time. I can then start getting some idea here. Okay, what's the execution count? So you know basic query tuning things like if the execution count is very high and the execution time is very low, there's really not much I can do about it. Then I need to go into the code, into the logic, and figure out how I can tune this query. And then there is basically also the option to download the query plan. And yeah. And then we have index analysis. In the index analysis, you can basically go through and you can understand, okay, is there any index basically either having a lot of user scans, user seeks, user updates, so any of that going on, and you can basically drill down into the table and can understand, well, maybe I have a table which is growing very fast, so the row count is going up very rapidly. Then I can go down and can see this, this table and can get all the indexes from a table and see. I can start investigating what is going on. essentially. And some of the things here are good for if your system's data is growing very fast, it gives you a good idea what's going on, where to start archiving or optimizing. Some other things like user scans, user seeks can tell you if you have inefficient access patterns. One thing I forgot here on performance metrics is that you have always, like, you have the trend view and you have the SQL statement itself. So the trend view is basically showing you, like, how did this query, this particular query, behave over time. So it's like a pretty powerful tool. And then SQL now is a just-in-time, so that would be hot path. So everything that's running in the system right now, if there would be a query executed, you would see it here. If there would be something blocking, you would see it here. So that is just right now, and you can basically refresh it, and it will always go to the current date and then show you what's going on. So that's basically for the demo part. What we are planning. So the first thing, bad message first, I guess. This Uber dashboard right now where you can see all your deployments, that's a little further out. This is this action-oriented dashboard. We have it for internal folks already, but right now we have a little bit limited resources because we do many, many, many things in parallel. So that will take a little bit of a while. But this dashboard basically, which gives you an overview over everything that's a little further out. The issue detection using pattern matching is actually implemented. And you can basically access that as of now. The ability to perform simple database operations is not yet there. So the simple database operation, so what the pattern detection is basically just telling you, hey, I had a crash and there's a hotfix available. You may want to request this hotfix. So we obviously don't auto-update your system just in the backend, but if we have some detection which tells you, okay, there's something you could do to improve the system stability. So then the ability to perform simple database operations, so that is basically something like a kills bit, something like an update statistics, like create an index. Because when you need a DSE request, like a service engineer request, for every little small operation, right, this is just very time consuming. So you essentially want to do these things directly from LCS. And that's the direction we go. So we want to add this feature in due time. So we want to improve the system diagnostic tool a tiny little bit. The batch process monitoring, that's a big, big work item, the business process monitoring. We speak about that in just a few minutes. And then the Power BI reports, I think we actually decided that this may not happen. just technical reasons, it's just impossible to access them. So I have a few wireframes here, and some of them are repeats. And so I'll go through that a little quick, but speak a little bit to everyone. So that is basically what you see here is how we envision your main health dashboard for a specific environment. And you can see in the middle you have these alerts which show you, okay, this is all what's going on. And this alerts basically will pretty much replace the old diagnostics framework. So once we have that in place, probably we just retire the diagnostics framework and remove that link. Because that will be these rules plus a few more rules. So it will be diagnostic rules, meaning business rules. So if something is wrong in your account setup or anything like that, or the invoicing is going wrong, we show it here. But then there's also the CPU and like the other things, like the health metrics bubbling up, essentially. So it will be more like a bubble up view. So that's not released stuff. That's stuff which we work on and hope to ship at some point. Then this thing you have seen already. That is all in place. So, no, come on. This is basically the pattern matching. So I said parts of it is implemented. You can actually access this menu already. But it doesn't have many patterns, so it doesn't kind of show. That's the thing. So it really shows only something. You will see the link only like if you find something. It's kind of like Yeah.
And we have to add more and more patterns. So far, we have only 7, 8 crash patterns. So when your system crashes for whatever reason, and we have a hotfix for that, then we show it. But that's kind of it. So there's not much there yet. That is the batch job view which we are planning. And this will be very similar to the business process view. So essentially, you can see how the batch jobs were running. You can see if they run in the usual time. So for example, the average time is what we mark here, this little gray bar. And the total time it took on the last run is this. If it's something failed, we show it here. And then we show like some system parameters based on the batch job. And this kind of view, we want to have also like some little bit similar view for business processes where you can see, okay, my business process, sales order invoice, basically, or my sales and marketing, this and this and this runs always well. All my invoices always go through. My posting always happens. But sometimes my reports just don't get created. Or sometimes I do a web service call to get some numbers about like tax or something like that, and I don't retrieve data from this call. So it would show things like that. So let's see. With that, I go give back to Robert.
Actually, I have time to take a couple of questions, if you'd like, on monitoring before we proceed to the next topic. Okay, no questions? Let's keep going. Great. So the second area I want to dig a little deeper into today related to operations and servicing is how to update your environments. For those who came to the Tuesday LM session, there's a lot of intersection here. We were focusing more on the developer side of things. Here we're focusing on environments that are already live and you are servicing them. But the tools and the vehicles are actually very similar. Our goal in this whole story is we want to get to a point, and we're close there, where everything is self-service. It is something you don't need Microsoft. You don't need to call Microsoft. You don't need to submit requests to Microsoft to achieve it. So you should be able to update, refresh, and service your environment. And you only have to call our service engineering team by exception. So this is our goal, and this is all the resources and all the effort, engineering efforts we're doing are going towards this goal. So I basically like to start with the slide to basically just show a vision where we're heading. So a lot of the things that you are seeing today that require you to create requests with the dynamic service engineering team are the things that will start going away, and less scenarios will be achieved by Microsoft, and they'll be basically achieved in a self-serve fashion via LCS. So what are the types of updates you can do to your environments? You obviously can customize your application. So any customizations or extensions you have to the environment, they go via updates. There are also platform updates. Platform updates are things like critical security fixes, hot fixes, or moving to a new platform of Dynamics AX. Like, for example, from the May release of the platform to the August release, which is called Update 2. And very soon, that's coming, Update 3. And just a quick thing here about the platform. We, and many of you already know if you have been in touch with us over this year, the platform is being locked from customization. So as of this fall release, you will not be able to modify code or overlay anything in the platform. And the platform is defined as 3 models: the application foundation, application platform, and test essentials. So very soon, anything related to customizations or X++ hotfixes and so on will only apply to the application, not to the platform. Another type of update is application updates. These also come in terms of X++ hotfixes, or some of them are also binary hotfixes. And the other is cloud infrastructure update, which is something Microsoft takes care of, and you are really abstracted from what's going on there. When our updates apply, anything related to the platform or to infrastructure is basically within a Microsoft plain maintenance window. Microsoft will notify you that an update is going to occur. They'll give you 2 options to choose. And you, in a lot of cases, you should expect downtime, and you will actually select the option you prefer, and the update will occur. The second type of update is a customer or partner-initiated update. You can decide to take it whenever basically suits your business cycle. So for example, these are the types of updates to the platform. You can have a hotfix to the platform. Today, you can have an X++ hotfix to the platform, like we make a small change to our X++ code or metadata. Or you can also have a binary hotfix to the platform, which is assemblies and so on, the kernel and so on that need to be updated. As I mentioned, as of the fall release, you will not be able, we will not be issuing any X++ hotfixes to the platform anymore. So what is the expected action? Microsoft will publish the hotfix. It will be on LCS. And it is the job of the customer to, or the partner, to update that, to uptake that hotfix and apply it to the sandbox environment. Eventually, when it's validated, it will go to the production environment. The goal of platform hotfixes is to be within the Microsoft planned window. We don't have it like this today, but soon in the future, anything related to platform, once this idea that the platform as a binary has stabilized and has sunk in, and we have all our customer outside of the overlaying of the platform, you can think of the whole platform to be, the updates to the platform to be Microsoft managed. So every month, or we give you a month or two or three or maybe less, depending on the size of the hotfix, to say you will be updated with the new platform. Critical security updates are also another type of platform hotfix. These are Microsoft planned, they're Microsoft planned today, and you'll be notified when these will happen. A platform update which is similar to a hotfix update, to a hotfix to the platform, it will also be Microsoft planned. This is, for example, the difference between this and a hotfix. A hotfix, you will have a smaller window to uptake it. It'll be like a particular performance fix or something critical in the platform that needs to be fixed. A platform update, a full platform update, is basically almost like an upgrade to the new version of the platform. We will have a platform released every 3 months. If we continue on the current cycle, we're releasing a new platform every month. And at a certain point, you will have to uptake the new platform. And it will basically move your environment from platform update 2, for example, to platform update 3, to 4, and so on, and et cetera. We are moving to a world where you don't need to upgrade your application to have the latest and greatest AX platform. So it will remove a lot of expensive upgrades, a lot of basically pain from the past, where even just to fix performance issues, to take new features in the client, take new features anywhere in the platform, you actually have to go through an upgrade. And that's the reason we are locking the platform. So we are moving to this world where the platform is going to be continuously upgraded or updated. We will have a platform every 2 to 3 months, and your application will not be affected. As of update 2, which is the August 2016 release of AX, as of the update 2 of the platform, the platform is not only functionally compatible with previous application, it's also binary compatible, which means if you, again, if you are not overlaying any code in the platform, you can drop it on any AX environment, and you don't even need to compile your code. So you don't have to resolve conflicts, and you don't even need to recompile your code. That's we reach that. You have to be on update 1 to achieve this. RTW is an exception. So as long as you started your environments on the update 1 platform, every subsequent platform you uptake, assuming, again, you're not overlaying any of the platform models, you are functionally and binary compatible with the existing application. So this is the goal. This program is in preview today. It will not be in preview starting the full release. And it's a change of culture for us at Microsoft. It took a long time for us to get to that stage. We've been working on it to separate these for a long time. It's a change of culture in the ecosystem, but basically get ready to get to a point where the platform is continuously updated. The other types of updates are application updates. If, for those of you who know AX, there will be not many changes here in how we deal with those, except we're going to have better tools for you, better ways to apply them, but there will always be hotfixes, which are granular X++ hotfixes, for example, regulatory features, simple changes. There will be delta changes. You can apply only a specific KB. And if it's an X++ hotfixes, your job is to, Microsoft's job is to publish it to LCS, or even if it's a binary hotfix, the partner or the customer will uptake it. If it's X++, you put it on a dev box, create a deployable package, push it to sandbox and to or to production. If it's a binary hotfix, you simply uptake it from LCS and you apply it to development and production. And once you're ready, Microsoft will apply it to your production environment. Critical security updates, these will also occur in the application, but this also be in the customer plan window. So anything related to the application will be in the customer plan window. It will not be in the Microsoft plan window. The customer can uptake it when they need to. An application update, it's also in a customer plan. An application update is something like we released the new Dynamics AX in February 2016. There was an application update in May 2016. We refer to it sometimes as 7.01. And there will be an application update under the Dynamics 365 umbrella in this fall. And we might refer to it as 7.1, but it's really AX under the Dynamics 365 umbrella. So these are also large upgrades. These types of updates typically require upgrades. You need to upgrade your code and so on. So it is also customer planned. Microsoft is not going to push this upgrade on you. And customizations are another type of update. So you are running on third-party ISV code or partner code or even your own customization. You have added some features to your application and so on. You create a deployable package. And in this process, Microsoft is not involved. It's basically the customer and the partner, and you update your application. So all of these updates, even though there's too many types and a lot of scenarios, there are really not that many assets for servicing, and which simplifies the ALM. You really have the concept of a deployable package and an application hotfix. That's all you need to know about. That's the only thing you need to learn when you're updating your application. A deployable package can either come from the application, so it came from your build machine or your VS machine, it's a customization, or it's even an X++ hotfix that you apply, or it's a binary hotfix that came from Microsoft or a new platform, for example. But they're both in the form of what we call a deployable package. And the third type is an application hotfix. It's a file. It usually has the suffix scdp, and it can only be applied on a dev box. So even though we have so many scenarios, and we support different scenarios in the whole servicing area, you only have to know about two types of packages to deal with, because you deal with them the same way via LCS. So before I go into the demo, let me describe a little bit the flow of how you apply a metadata hotfix. And I know some of you maybe were in the Tuesday session. This slide is a repeat. But I think it's good to repeat it over and over again, because we do want to make sure it is very clear how things are serviced. When you take a metadata hotfix, you actually find the hotfix in the LCS tool when you search for in the issue search. You will package it, download it to your Dynamics AX development environment. You will install it on your dev box. You will use VS conflict resolution tool to resolve any conflicts you might have, because it is possible you are overlaying that code. And there's a lot of great tools. I don't know if everybody here has used AX7 so far. The tools for conflict resolutions are pretty good, and we can auto-resolve conflicts for most cases because our customization is very granular. So you build, after you resolve the conflicts, you build, you test, you validate, you create a deployable package, you upload that deployable package to the asset library in LCS, and at that stage, it's a deployable package, so you will apply it like any other hotfix that comes from Microsoft. So your goal is always to get to a point where you have something called a deployable package in your asset library, and this is what you take and you apply to sandbox and production environment. The second flow of flying updates is binary hotfixes. It's binary hotfixes, but again, it also applies to other types of deployable packages. So a deployable package that's created on your dev box and uploaded to LCS, it will follow this also. A binary hotfix can be directly applied to any environment. You can put it on a dev box, you can put it directly on a sandbox, and you can put it on a production environment. So typically, you want to start with the dev box, validate it, make sure everything's fine, move to tier 2 sandbox, apply it, validate, and then request Microsoft to apply to your production. So, and this slide is very important because this is also how we will service the new platform. So if you're moving, you're doing what we used to call upgrade, but we're using the word update right now on purpose. If you're really moving from the May release of the platform to the fall release of the platform, you will get all the new features of the platform without upgrading your application. You will simply treat it like a binary hotfix. You'll go through LCS, click on maintain environment. I'm gonna show a demo here. Apply the platform, and you will magically be on the newest version. It even applies for things like branding. So even if you're running the, and we're testing this actually this month, even if you're running the application of the February 2016 release, you update your platform to the update 3 that's coming in fall, your application will be running on Dynamics 365 for operations because this is the platform. Your business logic, anything related to the application stays the same, but the platform will become Dynamics 365. Any questions? I have a small demo to show, but I can take some questions. And I appreciate it if you guys come to the microphone because we got feedback that a lot of people are listening to the sessions later on and they can't hear the questions.
Yeah. I have a question. So when you apply the binary hotfix but then you recompile the source code, how does it not overwrite the binary hotfix for the platform?
When you apply the binary, can you specify the scenario a little bit more?
Because today in the dev environment, mm-hmm. the when you create the deployable software package, mm-hmm. it's compiling the platform, it's compiling the source code in as part of that.
So correct.
How do you update your dev environment so that it doesn't like revert you back to the old platform?
I'm not sure I understand your question. Once you update your platform, the platform comes as a deployable package that includes DOS and other binaries, and the three models, application platform, application foundation, and test essentials. So if you apply this on your machine, on any machine, if you have other packages that are running on this environment that depend on the platform, they will keep running. Basically, there's nothing more than that in what I was saying before. So obviously, if you create another deployable package of your application, when you create your deployable package, you should not select the platform. You'd just create a deployable package of your code, and you would only create a deployable package of your application code, which would not compile the platform. And you would only do that if you're making a change to your application. So obviously, if you are making a change to your application, you still have to compile your application and create a deployable package. But what I was stressing on is, if you are not making any changes to your code, applying a new platform will not require you to recompile your code. Did I answer your question?
I think so. I think okay. You're saying that the software deployable package no longer has to include all of the packages. It only has to include the ones that have changed.
It is the case today. I know most people don't follow this practice, but it is the case today. When you create a software deployable package, you are only required to select the packages that actually where code has changed. Yeah.
So from a servicing downtime perspective, you said that there's Microsoft plan downtime and then customer plan downtime. Mm-hmm. So if the customer has plan downtime for an application update, can those be applied by Microsoft during the Microsoft plan downtime to kind of reduce the number of downtimes for the customer?
I don't want to say yes right away because there's a lot of downtime related to OS and infrastructure that will not be basically related to updating the Dynamics service. But I don't see why this couldn't be planned, correct? So basically, if Microsoft tells you, I am planning downtime this afternoon for 2 hours on your application, do you accept that downtime? You would say, yeah, that's great. Here's an extra package, and also apply it. You probably could take advantage of that time. I don't know how seamless this communication is, but that's actually a good way to think about it, and then I'll take note of that. No question.
When it comes to sandbox and dev, do you patch the OS or does the client patch the OS?
Yes, that's a good question. In terms of sandbox and dev, things that are running in the Microsoft offering, which is all customers, we will be updating the OS, the operating system, correct. There might be an exception to development environment that were being discussed, but our goal is to basically take care of things that are basically in the cloud. Dev environment are always tricky. That's why I put a big a warning here. But the sandbox tier 2 and production, it will be. Okay, let me show a small demo. My laptop went to sleep. So I have here an LCS project. It's a customer implementation project. I want to start by going to the asset library. Actually, no, let me go and start, to the production, to the sandbox environment. And what I did, just for the interest of time, I applied a package, a binary hotfix in this case, to my sandbox environment. And it ran. And it basically went through all the steps. If for those of you who onboarded AX7 for a while, these are the steps you used to do when you actually go and RDP to the box and install the deployed package and so on. This is now available via LCS. So I did that before this demo. And I'm assuming right now my customer, I'm a partner here, went and validated and said, yes, it's good. That package is good. My sandbox worked fine. I'm going to sign off. Once I sign off on this, we know that deployable package, that binary hotfix is good. It's good to take to production. And if you actually go here and go to the asset library, and select software deployable package, I do have this binary hotfix here that I was dealing with, and it has been marked as a release candidate. So whenever you sign off on a binary hotfix in LCS, in your sandbox or pre-prod environment, it will be marked as a release candidate. So this will allow it to appear in the available hotfixes for your production environment. So this way, it will basically force a certain flow before you actually can apply any binary hotfix to a production environment. So I go right now here. This is my production environment, and this is the LCS environment page of my production environment. It's obviously I'm not logged on to the AX client here. I'm going to click Maintain, Apply Update. And what you see is the different types of updates we have: binary hotfix, application deployed package, retail deployed package, and merge package. All of these are different types of deployed package. They're really all deployed package. And merge package is basically, if you get packages from different sources, you can, using the asset library, to merge them into one package. This way, instead of having two downtimes, you have actually one downtime. Because usually, the size of the deployable package does not affect much your downtime. A lot of the downtime required is because of DB sync and other overhead on top of flying a package. So I'm going to select binary hotfix here. And the binary hotfix that I just marked as a release candidate is appearing here. Only the ones that are release candidates will appear in this list. And I'll say schedule. The reason I'm not saying apply here, because I'm not in control of the production environment. This request is going to our service engineering team, and you schedule when you want to apply it, sometime between 12 and 5. You confirm, and you click yes. So it's our main goal right now. And a lot of our engineering resources are going into reducing how long it takes to apply that package. Currently, it's between an hour and a half and 2 hours. We think it's too slow, and I think everybody agrees it's too slow. It's better than it used to be. It used to be 3 to 4 hours. But our goal is to get to a point where the downtime by applying a deployed package, regardless of the size, is reduced to something acceptable and minimal. Our ultimate goal is no downtime, but I'm not promising it right now. I'm saying we are going to be working on, a lot of our engineers are going to be working on this problem, how to upgrade a production environment or a sandbox environment with much, much reduced downtime. And we know what where the bottlenecks are, and this is where we're focusing on. A good bottleneck, for example, is DB sync, because we have to do DB sync every time we update the boundaries. So let me switch back so we don't have to wait for the guys on our service engineering team, because I know everybody wants to go back home this afternoon, to the presentation and show you what happens when this is done. So we have shown this. While the environment is servicing, which it is today, eventually you'll get notified that it's done. You have the choice to close the servicing request. You'll get this button, you'll go back to your production environment, and there's a button that says close servicing request. You'll click on it. And by the way, you can see this chat box where you can actually communicate with the service engineer. You can just put a message and save and so on. Once you close the service request, you can just say it succeeded, but you don't want to totally close it and sign off. You might want to put some comments, or you can directly sign off. You'll select the sign off date, you'll put a comment, you hit submit, and then your environment is live again. So it's happening right now. I don't think it'll be done before the session, but basically this is the flow. And the good thing about this flow is, regardless of the scenario, this is the way you apply hotfixes. This is basically the only thing you need to learn, and this is the main interaction between you, the system, and eventually the service engineers of Microsoft. Future enhancements we're planning, we want to support rollback. Currently, with applying a deployed package, we only support roll forward, so we'll help you. If you have problems in application of this package, we will make sure it gets applied. This is what the service engineering does, so the environment stays in a good shape. But we are planning a rollback. It's coming over the next couple of cycles of LCS, where you can roll back whatever deployed package you have done. The good news about the rollback is one of the things that take a long time when you apply a deployed package is saving the state of your current VM to apply that rollback. We are already doing that, so all the Lego pieces are ready for us to start supporting rollback. And it'll be available for you via LCS soon. We're also going to have a little bit more streamlined approach of applying updates from dev test to sandbox to production that is more self-serve. Right now, there are a lot of things where you have to download things. Sometimes your deployed packages come from a build box. You have to download it, put it in the asset library, and so on. Just there are these little finishing touches to make the flow even more productive. We're going to be working on this. As I said again, applying updates with reduced downtime is one of the highest priority items that our engineers are working on. Add automated systems to validate environment health post-updates. So not all the sign-off is actually manual. Improving troubleshooting experience when applying updates as well. Currently, it's actually pretty good. You have a lot of information there. So for example, I didn't show that in the demo. When you apply a hotfix, there's a place where you can download the logs. So it goes actually to the machine, and it downloads the logs. So in case something goes wrong, they're very, very sophisticated log and have a lot of information. In more than 95% of cases, actually, we found out what the problem is by looking at the log. What we want to do is make these logs a little more readable, a little more accessible via LCS. And also some more automated flows for other requests, such as sandbox refresh, database backup, et cetera, through LCS. So, and this is actually coming, sandbox refresh is coming, I believe, in the November release of LCS, where currently the way it happens, you have to file an issue through the support tab. You say, I want to refresh my sandbox. and you get the production database, and it'll be basically copied to your sandbox. This is going to be more self-service. You don't have to wait for the SE. It'll basically go to the environment. You say maintain, like, for example, the sandbox, and you say copy databases. You'll select the source database, like could be your production. You'll select your target environment. It'll be your sandbox, and it'll copy your database from production to sandbox. You'll be able to use that flow also to copy from sandbox to production only for first-time go-lives. So let's say your sandbox is actually your pre-prod gold config, and you're done configuring it with data packages, and you're ready to go live with it. You don't have to rebuild your production data, your production environment with the configuration data. You will go and say, I want to copy the databases, and you will go live with your pre-prod, and it'll be moved to production. So this is something we're working on today, and I think you'll be seeing it soon in LCS. And yes, that's it. These are the main items that you will see coming soon over the next couple of cycles in LCS. Some related sessions, they all occurred already. That's why I realized I had the time there, and I realized it's kind of useless to put the time of the session, so I erased it from the slide. But since all of these sessions are available for you to watch, if you missed any of those, you can go ahead and watch them. And here are some more IT Pro resources. You probably have seen the slide before. And please use your Ignite app. I hope everybody's using it, and evaluate that session. I believe we have 3 or 4 minutes more for questions. So if you have questions, please go to the microphone.
When the system is being serviced, does the end users get a saying, hey, the system is servicing, about to happen, please close all your
stuff? The question is, if the system is being serviced, do we notify end users? Yes, DSE will send emails that the system there's plain maintenance on this system, so they have to log on. There is currently no automatic, there is no automatic signing off of users or draining of users and so on, but they will be notified that there is planned downtime, yeah.
I have a question about production and sandbox backups. Like, how often do you backup databases, and is it possible, let's say, to request, let's say we screwed up in the production system and I would like to roll back to, let's say, you know, five hours back version of the production database, you know, would it be possible somehow?
Yes, it is a request we support directly via LCS. So, and it's actually thanks to SQL Azure. I don't know if any of you, you're talking about rolling back the data, correct? Anytime.
Just data for a specific time in the past.
Correct, yeah, this is supported already, I didn't mention it. If any of you have used SQL Azure and have gone to the SQL Azure portal, it is so easy, it's scary. There's a slider, actually. You go there and you just go back in time, and then your database. So this is what the service engineering, this is the tool that our service engineers are using.
So basically, we don't need to kind of configure anything additionally, and you don't, all these updates,
you,
all the logs.
You don't need to do. What I don't remember, though, is if you get 1 week or 1 month by default. I think you get 1 week. But yeah, you don't need to configure anything. Yeah.
Is that the whole database, or can you just do tables in the database?
The question is, if that the whole database or tables? No, it's the whole database.
Okay. And then one other question on the enclosed monitoring, the queries that you have the drop-down on.
Yeah.
Can you add stuff to that, or is it a request to you guys to add to that list of what I'd like to see on monitoring?
Can you cover that, Christian?
What was the question?
Can you repeat the question, please?
The enclosed monitoring queries that you have?
Yeah.
Like deadlocks and all that.
Yeah.
Can you add to that list, or is that a request to you guys?
That would be a request to us, yeah. So.
Okay. Okay.
All right, so.
Okay, right on time. Thanks, everybody, and everybody have a nice weekend. And
safe travels.
Safe travels.